you for your love. And we pray that as we turn to your word now, as we turn to this story of Jesus, you would open our hearts and help us to see more of your grace and mercy to us. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, do you take a seat? Now, I'm sure that you've been in situations where you've heard this sort of thing. So maybe in the playground at school, someone says, "She's got my toy. It's not fair." You've heard it in the office or the canteen. "Have you seen what the boss is doing? It's not fair." Or you've heard it over the garden fence. "What John did with Bill's tree was awful. It's not fair." Seems to me that deep down within us all, right from the early parts of our lives, when we are challenged in some way, when we see something that doesn't seem fair, deep down within us we have a sense of justice, a sense of fairness. And so when that is offended in some way, we feel upset and annoyed. Now, as we continue our look at Jesus' stories with a purpose, our Bible reading presents us with a parable that in some ways is quite shocking. It seems to describe a situation that many think is not fair. And yet through it, we learn something very important about God and how he works in the world. Now, I could do with a few people to help me. I know that there are some here who might give me a hand. Would you give me a hand? Come and give me a hand, Sam. That'd be great. Anybody like to give me a hand? Just want to try to think about that story. Come and give us a hand. It'd be really helpful if you would. Are you going to come as well? Come and help me. Come on, you can do it. Well done. That's great. Anybody else like to give us a hand? If you come and stand with me at the front, can you give us a hand? Right, if you just come and stand behind me for a moment, because we're going to think about that story that Jesus told. And we're going to try and think about it in a way that makes it a little bit more easy for us to connect with in 2020. But we're keeping the message exactly as Jesus did. Well, Jesus said that the situation with the kingdom of heaven is like the situation with the managing director of a company. And in fact, he's the managing director of a pea processing factory in Hull. And he's looking to recruit some staff. Now, he's just had a big delivery of peas from Lincolnshire. And they need to be sorted, and they need to be bagged and frozen, ready for the supermarkets to come and sell them so that people like us can enjoy peas on our dinner plates. Well, through an employment agency, the man went and he found some young people. Pick one of them. You come and stand over here. And he said, "Come and work for us. You'll get £75 a day. That's £9 an hour from the National Living Wage." Well, the worker got going at 9 o'clock the next morning. Come and stand over here. And you've got to pretend that you're in a pea factory and you're sorting out peas and putting them in boxes and things. Well, a few hours after they started, the managing director realises that he needed more staff. So he found somebody else. Now, they looked like they weren't doing anything. In fact, they were hanging around outside Morrison's at Broth. "Would you like a job? Well, come and work with me then and I'll give you a proper wage." And that worker went and joined the factory as well. Now, there was so much to be done that the managing director went out again at lunchtime and again at 3 p.m. So if you pick one more. And he sat them down. And then at 4 o'clock, just with an hour to go before the end of the day, he found somebody else standing around. And he said to him, "Why do you hang around here all day?" And he said, "Because I'm unemployed, I don't have a job, I've got nothing to do." "Well, come and work in my pea factory," he said. Well, at the end of the working day, the managing director called the supervisor in. We need somebody to be a supervisor. Can you be a supervisor for us? And the managing director said to the supervisor, call all the workers and start paying them their wages. Start with the one who was last hired and go through to the one who started this morning. Well, the supervisor gave the money, first of all, to the one who'd just done an hour's work. There you are, £75. Now, he was very, very happy, because he got a lot of money for just doing 1 hour's work. But when the ones who had started at 9 o'clock came, they thought to themselves, well, we're going to do well here, we're going to get more than £75. But they also got £75 as well. But when they realised what had happened, they started to complain to the managing director. You know, this guy, he only did 1 hour's work and we've been working for 8 hours since 9 o'clock this morning. That's not fair. You've made him equal with us who've worked all the day. But the managing director said to them, my friends, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for £75? Take your money and enjoy it. I have decided to give the ones who were hired last the same as I gave to you. Do I not have the right to do what I want with my own resources? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Well, let's give our helpers here a round of applause. Thank you very much for your help. We've got to sit down now. So what are we to make of that parable of Jesus? Well, in the story, the boss represents God. God is the one who's in control and who owns everything, ultimately. And the workers are different human beings. All are in need of what God has. Well, the workers who worked all day felt that it wasn't fair that the ones who just had done an hour's work got the same amount as them. Now, it's clear that Jesus' story is not given to guide trade unions and management about pay in the workplace, but it is rather to teach us about God and how we can receive his gifts. God is fair, but he is also more than just fair. He is so good and so loving that he is also generous. Now, as the boss gave a full day's pay to those who had only worked an hour, so God is so generous that he is prepared to offer eternal life to those who don't deserve it. That's what's been going on before the parable was told. Jesus has been speaking to his friends and they've been saying, how come, even though so many people are against us, so many people think that we're bad people because we're connected with you, how come we're the ones who are going to be given eternal life? Well, Jesus is explaining. Do you remember what the owner of the vineyard in the original story, the pea factory in our retelling, said? Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? See, it's all about God's generosity. He's being more than simply being just and fair. He's being loving. Well, now many of us here are used to thinking about God. We come to church, we think about living in his world, we pray. And it's very easy for people like many of us to react in a way that's quite similar to those workers who worked all day and then found the one who'd just done 1 hour's work getting the same pay. They grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat. I wonder if you ever heard one of those stories about a person who has damaged other people by their life. Perhaps they've even been a criminal. And then in the last days of their life, they realize that they've been ignoring God and hurting other people. And then they realize that and they admit their sin and they cry out to God, and God hears them. They realize that Jesus has died on the cross in place of their sins. And they realize that the punishment that they deserve has been taken by Jesus. And so this person turns back to God and holds out their hands for forgiveness. Now, when you hear a story like that, how do you feel? Do you have the slightest sense that something is not quite right? Do you, like the workers in the story, feel a bit annoyed, maybe a bit resentful that God is so generous? Well, if we do, and there's often something of that in our hearts, then we need to be struck afresh by Jesus' parable this morning. Perhaps we're thinking that God accepts us because in some ways we're decent. We are those who are religious, at least a bit. We start to feel that actually we deserve God to be good to us and to give us good things. We deserve his attention and his interest. After all, we're a lot better than quite a lot of people we can think about. Well, Jesus makes it clear that that sort of thinking is very dangerous. Jesus has just been teaching earlier in Matthew's gospel that actually none of us deserve God's attention, because in fact, all of us have turned away. No one is good enough for God. In fact, we all have what you might call a heart problem. He says earlier in the gospel, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These things come from within, and these things make a person unclean to God." See, all of us fall short of what we should be. All of us are unclean to God. All of us need God to be generous to us if he is to have anything to do with us. But just after Jesus tells the parable, Jesus explains how God can be generous to undeserving people. Tony's just going to read for us now the words that come after the parable.
"See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day."
And then just a little bit later, Jesus explains how his death is going to have meaning. Ian's just going to read for us.
"The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many."
So through his death, proved right by his resurrection, Jesus can ransom, rescue people. Through Jesus, God is just, and the price of the sins of others can be paid because Jesus paid it. And that means that God can be generous. He can offer forgiveness, a cleaning up, and an acceptance with him. So when in some part we get our heads around God's grace, his generosity, we'll be delighted when we see anyone come to receive forgiveness through Jesus. And we'll rejoice that God forgives even us, even if our life is not so full of public sins, because we know that there are many private sins that make us completely undeserving. But it's possible too, in a gathering like this, that you're here and you're thinking, well, actually, you know, to be honest, I don't really give God much of a thought. And I know that my life is far from what it should be. Done this and I've done that, and actually I'm quite glad that everyone else here doesn't really know anything of that stuff. And I can see that I have a spiritual heart problem, and really God shouldn't be interested in me at all, given how pure he is and how much I fall short. Well, this story shows that actually God is very interested in people like that as well. No, you don't deserve his love, but then neither does the most upstanding person or the most religious person. The reality is everyone needs God to be generous to them. Everyone needs God to give his love and for Jesus to pay for their sins and offer forgiveness and a new life with him. So the good news is that God draws people to himself despite their undeserving. And as he draws people, they turn back to him, centering their lives on him and not simply on the values and the ideas of the world around. So as God offers us his undeserved love, his grace, those who receive it are never left the same. God is at work in them to make them more like Jesus himself. So do you see how this is a story of good news? Well, we often cry and we hear other people say it's not fair. But Jesus' story shows us that God, in his generosity, goes way beyond human ideas of what is fair. No one receives less than they deserve, but some receive far more. So what do you make of God's generosity? Let's be quiet for a moment and then we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we realize that as we turn to your word, you humble us and you remind us that we are unworthy. And yet we thank you that you offer generous love, your grace. Please open our hearts afresh, whoever we are, whatever our experience, our knowledge of the Christian faith, our experience of belonging to you, our sense of being far from you, whoever we are, whatever we are, we pray that you would help us to see more of your grace again this morning and help us to receive your love afresh. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.